Hey, everybody. This is another episode of the Southern Fried Soccer Podcast from me, Doug Roberson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It is March 24th, and last night here in beautiful Toronto, Atlanta United was beaten 2-0 by the hosts on a night where the temperature at kickoff was below freezing. There was a steady wind headed toward Lake Ontario of 13 miles an hour. It was just a miserable night for the players on the field, especially for Atlanta United, which was beaten 2-0. The lineup featured five new starters because five were missing, along with two other key contributors off the bench. So the attack was disjointed. The defense had a couple of issues that Toronto was able to pounce on to get that 2-0 win to drop Atlanta United to 2-2-0 this season and 0-2 with two shutouts on the road. Atlanta United will be back at home next week hosting Chicago. As always, you can follow my coverage on Twitter at Doug Roberson AJC and on Facebook at Atlanta United News Now. In this podcast, you're going to hear from manager Gonzalo Pineda, as well as Brad Guzan and Dax McCarty, who thought out enough to come and talk to us. This is Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And if this is your first time listening to us, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so that you never miss an episode.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, and we're back. Just to talk about the weather for a few minutes, if you don't follow me on Twitter, at Doug Roberson AJC, I posted like a 6-second video last night looking at the Lake Ontario end of the stadium, and the flags were pretty much blowing straight out, and that was what it was like all game. So in the first half, Atlanta United had the wind at its back, which didn't help them, and in the second half, they were going into the wind, which also didn't help them, and I'm going to explain why in just a little bit. Going through the stats of the game, Toronto's goals were scored by Spicer in the 35th minute and a Wusu in the 71st on the first goal, the deciding goal. It started with Insigne, you know, a former Italian national team player, world-class player. He got past Lopcinice, who didn't make a very good tackle, tried to play a 1-2 with another player. As the ball came to that player, Noah Cobb, I think, I could be wrong about this, stepped into space that he didn't need to step into. That space was filled by another Toronto player who got the ball. Cobb turned around and was going to toe poke the ball, but decided not to because it was in the box. Probably a smart decision. And Derek Williams was also starting to come over, but neither one of them actually made a play for the ball. And Spicer kind of took a snapshot that went into the near post. Guzan looked like he expected Spicer was going to go to the outside post because that's the normal spot that most people shoot. He got stuck. And then the last goal from Owusu, it started with a shot from range from Toronto. It was a low, hard shot. It kind of skipped. Guzan parried it away because that was the only thing he could do. But there were no teammates around to help him out, and it was poked back in by Owusu. Pineda and I both think that it was a fine save by Guzan. The conditions, you can't feel your arms, can't feel your legs. The wind's blowing into your face. Some people on Twitter seem to think that Guzan could have done better, to which I was like, I don't know what sport you're watching or what you're thinking, but that was the only save that could be made. A teammate needed to be there. If you don't like Guzan, just say you don't like Guzan, but to blame him for that, come on, that's ridiculous. It's also funny to me that people are like, Atlanta United supporters are like, well, you just got to overcome the weather. You got to be better on the road. The same advantage that Atlanta United enjoys at Mercedes-Benz Stadium that y'all enjoy so much, the other teams get that at their home places too. So it gets flipped around. It's not a video game. There's a reason that every team likes to play at home. Tonight, Toronto, under John Herdman, who has a history of liking to play games in cold conditions and, you know, watering the field and stuff, which is what they were doing last night to create the ice on the field, which put ice on the ball, is part of the advantage of home. So there you go. All right, we're going to start with Gonzalo Pineda on how much being shorthanded the team was missing Yorgo Chakamakis, Thiago Almada, Bartosz Schlesz, Stian Gregersen to injury, Caleb Wiley, Jay Fortune, and Luis Abram, and the weather played a factor in the loss.
Well, you can always find those type of excuses, of course, and, you know, after the game, yeah, you can say that we were lacking a little bit of quality, a little bit, but yeah, for me, those are excuses. We were prepared to do a good game. I think in some moments we did an okay job in certain moments, but we were lacking a little bit of change of pace and change of, intensity in the final third. And yeah, a couple of things that were missing. But yeah, congrats to Toronto. They deserve the victory. And yeah, the conditions, the weather, of course, it was difficult to move the ball. Times was frozen and that, but yeah, it was for both teams. So yeah, no, not excuse.
And I was curious from Pineda to get his reasoning on some of the guys he did sub in. It wasn't me questioning the lineup. It was more, I just wanted to give him a chance to explain, because I thought most of the guys, well, I thought all of them, you know, did about as well as could be expected, considering it was the first MLS starts for Thierry at striker, for Firmino at attacking midfielder, the first MLS starts this season for Tyler Wolf at left wing, who got the nod over Jean De Silva, for Dax McCarty at central midfield, and for Ronald Hernandez, who stepped in at left wing.
Well, basically, because that's what we had available, and also we had faith on all of them. Even now, I'm proud of the effort they put in. Even in the 2-0, they continue fighting and creating a couple half chances and sprinting in behind and making some crosses. And yeah, we fight till the end. But so again, I believe in them, regardless of the score, the result. We need to continue working, and yeah, need to be better. But the choices, I mean, Noah, I think, deserves the start. He's been doing very good in preseason. Dax the same, Ronald the same. I mean, Tyler's been doing amazing in the training sessions. I felt like it was a good opportunity for the kid. Jamal's been doing also very good, and Nick Firmino. So yeah, we had a good starting 11. No complaints on that.
Dax was next to talk to us. I wanted to know how the weather played a factor.
I would say, obviously not pleasant, but certainly not an excuse for losing the game. I would say the only thing that really kind of had a factor was maybe the wind a little bit. First half, you could see that what we were trying to accomplish to counteract them pressing high and essentially going man-v-man all over the field, was to try to use some pace to get in behind them. And when we tried to do that, the wind was so strong, most of the passes we hit went out of bounds. And then the second half, the opposite was true. Right. And you tried to go behind them, and the ball kind of hung up in the air, and their big center backs did a great job of just attacking every single ball and winning most of those duels, and it was difficult for us to get out and establish a rhythm in their half of the field in the second half. So I would say that was pretty much, you know, the only factor, and obviously both teams had to deal with it, so it's not an excuse, but certainly played a little bit of a role tonight.
I thought that answer was really interesting, because he pointed out that when they tried to go over the top, the wind that was at their backs was blowing the balls either out of bounds or too far down the field for Thierry to go and get. And then, of course, when they tried that tactic in the second half, the wind was blowing into their faces, so everything was a 25-yard pass. So they couldn't do that. They couldn't execute that way. And then just trying to break Toronto's press on the ground with ice on the ground and ice on the ball, it was really, really difficult. Toronto was used to it. Atlanta United was not. Now, here's McCarty talking about the team's chemistry when you have some new players in.
I think it was a little bit hit or miss. Okay. I think it wasn't as sharp as it could have been. I think that for a group and a team that made, you know, five or six lineup changes, however many it was, you know, for the most part, we started the game pretty well. And it was a shame to concede the goal when we did, because I thought the first 15, 20 minutes, we were in the game, we were comfortable, we weren't under too much pressure, and we were growing into the game. Obviously, they're the home team. They took some initiative. They made a few tactical tweaks and started to put a little bit more pressure on us. But up until the goal, I really thought we were quite comfortable. And the goal gave them a little bit of momentum. But again, you know, we came into halftime down 1-0, and we weren't overly concerned about not being able to get back in the game. We felt like we were going to get chances. It was just a matter of putting one away. And second half, we did have a couple half chances when it was 1-0, and you know, to not be able to put more pressure on their goal and their goalkeeper to make some saves and you know, to allow them to grow into the game and to build some pressure and use the momentum of their crowd to get that second goal was frustrating. So, you know, they were aggressive all over the field all night. It was difficult for us to find time and space. And when you have a new group, a group that hasn't played together a ton, you know, you're going to find some misconnections that occur, and that's what happened. So definitely a difficult one, but I'm proud of our group. We didn't give up. We wanted to continue to try to fight and get back in the game, and I think they just had just a little bit more quality, a little bit more composure in the final third tonight, and that's what got them two goals.
After that first goal, you could see McCarty kind of give Noah Cobb a slap on the back, and credit to Cobb. This was his third MLS start. His first was in Columbus at last year in the U.S. Open Cup. And this might be his fourth start. Anyway, it was in the U.S. Open Cup. Horrible conditions. I tweeted last night that last night was probably top five worst conditions I've ever seen at Atlanta United play. Among those, two of them were at Minnesota. One was the snow. One was just a bitter cold. I think it's the second coldest kickoff in MLS history, maybe third. Colorado in the second game of 2022. Colorado in 2018. It was blistering hot. Frisco, Texas, blistering hot. The only game I've ever worn shorts to, because I walked outside the hotel wearing pants and realized I'm going to die if I walk to the stadium in these pants, because it was hot and it was a sandy wind blowing into the players' faces all night. And then like three of them were at Columbus. One was a monsoon. One was monsoon in the U.S. Open Cup. Another was last year's or 2 years ago U.S. Open Cup. And then playoffs last year. And then tonight. Anyway, after that first goal, it looked like McCarty kind of gave Cobb a slap on the back. And I was curious about why.
He was the closest guy to me, and I just wanted to make sure our whole team didn't put their heads down.
Okay.
You know, Noah, for me, I thought he had a great preseason, and I think he's got a really bright future ahead of him. And I honestly have to watch the goal back,
right,
to exactly see how it occurred and how it broke down. But you know, he was close to me, and I wanted to make sure that he didn't lose any confidence and tried to give him a little bit of a pat on the back to say, don't worry about it, let's go. However their goal was scored, we'll figure it out and we'll keep going. So, you know, I thought all of us could have been a little bit better probably in certain moments, in key moments in the game. And I want to give Toronto credit because they were up for it. They certainly were extremely aggressive in areas of the field where they were winning some tackles and duels higher up the field in our half, where that's what allowed them to kind of build some pressure. And we just weren't quite able to build enough of a rhythm with the ball to disrupt their high pressure. So that was kind of the story of the game for me.
Here's Brad talking about the positives from the loss.
Kept going. You know, I don't think at any moment we ever chucked the towel in. That's encouraging, but at the same time, you know, we need to do more.
More of?
We need to be better on the ball.
Okay.
We need to, you know, be brave. There were times when, you know, we weren't good, but we weren't helping each other. I wouldn't say hiding, but not demanding the ball how we would normally demand the ball, whether that's conditions or the pitch, the wind, I don't know, right? But, we need to be brave.
And I wanted to know if not playing well with the ball, because this was the second consecutive game that Atlanta United really kind of struggled with the ball, if it was due to new personnel or if there is some sort of consistent issue.
No, I mean, listen, going into the game, we knew there was going to be changes. We knew there was going to be the potential for a little bit of disjointedness. Different people bring different qualities to the team and into the field. And so you try to adapt as best you can to them and them to being in that moment and trying to be on the same page.
You heard McCarty talk about Toronto's press, and McCarty's word surprised them, I think was the word, and wanted to follow that up from Guzan because he was the one starting the goal kicks, if he saw the same thing.
I wouldn't necessarily say it surprised us. I don't think we didn't deal with it well, especially in the first half, in terms of using the conditions to our advantage. I thought there were times we did that well in the first half where we pressed really high, but there was loads of space behind them, and we continued to play in front of them. And so in those moments...
Is that a lack of runners? Is that what you're talking referring
no,
to?
No. Just it in general, you know. Okay. We need to be able to adapt in those situations and try and exploit the space that the opposition gives us.
This is Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. When we come back, I'm going to answer your questions about the team.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach. An air freshener can make your car smell like paradise. A drive to Daytona Beach will actually get you there. Beach on. Plan your trip today at DaytonaBeach.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are excited to announce a great deal for a greater Atlanta. For a limited time, subscribe and you'll get digital access to the AJC for just $1.99 per week for life. As long as you keep your subscription, you have access to the substance and soul of the South, including breaking news and in-depth investigations, food, sports, business, and more from AJC.com every day for the rest of your life. Subscribe now by going to AJC.com/start. That's AJC.com/start to take advantage of the South's biggest deal. This is for new subscribers only. Now, on to the mailbag. Jamie agrees with me in that it's hard to take a lot from this game, but he does have a question about Pineda's tactics. He said, I played a clip in the last podcast, thank you for listening to that, Jamie, of Pineda saying there would be no change in formation even with so many starters out. Is that a sound philosophy or a yellow flag that he is unwilling to adapt the game plan depending upon the circumstances? Well, it depends on how you want to look at it, because this team is deeper than maybe any other team post-2018 for Atlanta United. They've worked on the same tactics. They mixed and matched a lot of the players in the preseason to try to get them ready for these international breaks. They knew were coming. They knew they were going to have players missing. So with that logic, I do not blame Pineda for saying, no, we're running with what we know. We're running with what we worked on, because to not do so would be kind of silly. At the same time, the flip side of this, and it's kind of my job to be objective, when you know you're going in with five starters, which is a lot for an international break, you know the weather is going to be god-awful. Is it a bad idea to park the bus, so to speak, to try to get a good point and get home? No. So it just depends on which side of the fence you want to be on. I could have seen Atlanta United going either way. I would have agreed with Atlanta United going either way. I don't think it's a yellow flag. I do wish that we would see Atlanta United try something different to surprise opponents and to give future opponents something to think about. It's one of those things, like in football, because college and pro football coaches are just so paranoid and anal about everything. I've always thought it would be funny if in certain games, in blowouts, either way, one of the teams just decided, hey, let's go run and shoot for a series or two. Or let's try something just totally funky with special teams, just to make the other team have to spend a session of a practice period working on that, when you know good and darn well you're never going to use it again. I don't know what the equivalent of that would be in soccer, some sort of bizarre set piece or something like that, but not a wholesale formation. Vern says, Pineda said the tactics were going to remain the same as that in the previous games because that's what the team understands. Yet the team started with three center backs and spent most of the match making back passes. Even worse, the third center back, Noah Cobb, gave up both goals. Okay, Vern, there weren't three center backs, my man. There were two, Noah Cobb and Derek Williams. Ronald Hernandez, who is a fullback, played left fullback, and Brixland played right fullback. So there were only two center backs. I wouldn't say Noah Cobb gave up both goals. I think the first goal was a combination. If you want to put blame, you could put it on Cobb, you could put it on Lobchenitze, I guess a little bit on Derek Williams, and I guess a little bit on Guzan. But that's 4 out of 11 starters. The second goal, I'd have to go back and rewatch who should have been clearing that pass. But you can't man mark, I guess, and be in space at the same time, so I need to see who might have had some space. Vern continues, why didn't Silva and Mosquera start? Well, Mosquera's not 90 minutes fit yet. Remember, he missed almost all of the preseason. Well, he did miss all the preseason because of an injury. And Silva, the first three games, hadn't really shown, I don't think. He's had one good play when he hit the cross that resulted in a penalty kick. But other than that, he hadn't really done much. And so I don't really blame Pineda for starting Wolf. You heard him in the previous clip saying Wolf's had a great preseason, great training camp, and defensively he thought he would be a little bit better. He said it wasn't Wolf's fault tonight that the team kept kind of going to the right with its attack, so Wolf never really got activated at all. When Mosquera came on, he was the most dangerous player on the field, but the game was already over. This is something that, some folks, I guess, it can be maybe a concept that I'm going to try to explain. Some players are better as subs. Their speed is better against tired legs of the opponent. And Mosquera, I think, is one of those guys. Can he be a spot starter? Yes, but he's more effective off the bench. When he has started, he hasn't done a lot. All of his goals, I think, have come when he's been a reserve. It's just his speed is an asset, and it's an asset that is best used for right now against opponents who are tired. So that means he comes off the bench. And again, he wasn't 90 minutes fit. And Silva, I think, will probably start against Chicago. And why bring them on? Because they're chasing a goal. The Colonel says, hey, Doug, I think I remember a day when teams could ask not to be scheduled during international breaks and suck up the resulting midweek games. Am I misremembering or is that option gone? No, you're not misremembering. It was something where teams could say, hey, we prefer not to play in the international break, but sometimes they would still get stuck playing. I don't think that's an option anymore. And I think, I could be wrong, I think it might be because of the League's Cup, because they stopped the whole league schedule for a month, that I think it now depends upon just stadium availability and other factors as to whether teams play through the international break or not. I'm going to try to find out a better answer for you, because this was a Saturday night game. There was no way of finding out an answer last night. But I don't think that teams have the option of saying, hey, we prefer not to play in the international break anymore. Eric, my friend and a guy who is co-authoring a book that I'm writing, fiction. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a Barnes & Noble bestseller and we're going to become millionaires on movie rights. Says, with the missing personnel this week and based on some of the choices in the starting lineup, did I get a vibe that this was a throwaway game for Atlanta United? No, I did not get that vibe. They wanted to win or at least get a point. And Toronto was just a little bit better. Coffee sip. I mean, Atlanta United tried, but it's just with five starters, so almost 50% of your starting lineup changed out. That's tough. And, again, I see people on Twitter saying, well, you just got to plug and play. Think about basketball or American football. You got 22 starters on, or 24 starters, counting the kickers and punters, on an American football team. Let's say Georgia changed out 10 starters for a game against, I don't know, South Carolina or Florida. What is the probability that Georgia is going to win that game? And let's say that those starters are your quarterback in Thiago Almada, your best running back in Yurgo Chakamakis. Maybe your best linebacker in Bartosz Sleesh. Your best safety comparison with Steen Gregerson. Your best wide receiver with Caleb Wiley, or second best wide receiver with Caleb Wiley. It's going to be hard to win. So I hope that that metaphor, that parallel helps folks understand. Adam says, can we please, please start having one player stay deep outside during corners? I'm pretty sure every one of Atlanta's corners ended up being deflected, cleared wide, begging for someone there to turn it right back in. I have to go back and watch some of them. I don't know, you know, you can't predict where the ball is going to go, and you got to have at least one player back to stop any counters. Adam says, realizing Atlanta's personnel issues, the defensive positioning seemed very poor. It seemed like McCarty and Firmino were struggling to keep the shape for the midfield, and as Toronto enjoyed spells of possession, more and more players got caught out overcompensating. What can Pineda do to help the B-side improve in this area? It's more just playing time and playing together. And it's hard to replicate those things even in preseason games. And they tried. Pineda did his best to keep pairs of players together who were used to playing with each other. But it's different when it's, you know, live. It's different when you're on the road. And it's really different when you're frozen. Thoughts on the fill-in officials this far? You know, there have been some bad examples, but for the most part, I haven't noticed them a whole lot. Atlanta United, I don't think, has had a game that was directly affected by the officiating. So, you know, I hope that I read a report on Friday that it looks like they've come to an agreement. We might see an announcement, I guess, after a vote, which would, I don't know when the next vote would be, Monday or Tuesday or something. So we might see the real officials back on the field next weekend. We'll see. And then here's the question of the day from Todd. He sent it via Twitter, which I usually don't read on the air because I pretty clearly ask y'all to email me. Because I get a lot of DMs and it's easier for me to sift through the emails than it is the DMs. But he says, Guzan hit 200 caps for the club last week. That's pretty cool. How many caps have I racked up so far? Enjoy the pod. Thanks for the coverage. So by caps, I assume you mean how many games have I covered for Atlanta United live in person, not via Zoom. So I tried to do back of the napkin math last night. And so this is going to be off by a few because the COVID year and the next year kind of screwed up everything a little bit with my numbers. But here they are season by season. I covered 37 matches home and away in 2017. I think it was 41 in 2018. 47 in 2019. So this is MLS games, US Open Cup, and then you've got to throw in Champions League and Campeones Cup. 3 in 2020, 12 in 2021. Those are the two COVID years. I think 34 in 2022, 37. It may have been 35 in 2023, and 4 so far this year. So around, it's around like 245, an approximation. It might be a couple less than that. There's some LA trips that we haven't gone on because there are 10:30 kicks, but it's around 245. That doesn't count the preseason games. It doesn't count the training camps. But yeah, so around 245 appearances so far for me live covering Atlanta United. All right, we'll come back next week with a podcast to preview the Chicago match. And then we'll come back with a podcast after. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Doug Robertson AJC or on Facebook at Atlanta United News Now. Please tell your friends about the show. Please give us a rating and a review on Spotify and Apple. Don't forget to subscribe. That's AJC.com/start. You get not only Atlanta United coverage, but your Braves, your Bulldogs, your Falcons, your Hawks, Georgia State, where my son is going to go to college next year, Kennesaw State, your local news, your culture, your food, your dining, everything. As always, hug your loved ones. Communicate with your loved ones. Be empathetic. Try to be aware. If you're going through something and you don't feel like you have someone to talk to, talk to me. Send me a DM. Send me an email. I'll give you a call and I'll listen. You're not alone. Thanks for listening to Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.